The Psychedologist.
In this episode of The Psychedologist, Jamie and Matt share about the life events that led them to finding their current path with Psychable, the number one trusted and comprehensive online community dedicated to connecting those interested in legally exploring psychedelic-assisted therapy with practitioners who can support them. They provide an exploration of the concept of conscious capitalism through the lens of the North Star Pledge. In this episode, you'll hear them discuss walking the walk and embodying the work, how language matters, studying the traditions, doing your homework, and understanding matters on a deeper level, building trust, being transparent, and speaking from one's own lived experience, no competition, sharing so everyone can win, standing on the shoulders of giants, considering the gravity, thinking about the patients first, including affordability and accessibility, focusing on the process, there is no one-size-fits-all solution, transparency, accountability, paying it forward, reciprocity, being energetically aligned with investors, finding a way to work within the system as it exists while making change, and the importance of sharing our experiences and trusting our own inner healing intelligence. Jamie is the Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of Psychable. She has more than 15 years of extensive digital and marketing experience working with numerous global brands. A serial entrepreneur, Jamie builds companies rooted in corporate social responsibility. She leverages consumer insights, data, and analytics to sustainably scale businesses efficiently and effectively, resulting in the creation of industry-first new business totaling over $250 million. Jamie holds a bachelor's degree at the University of California, Irvine, in international studies and sociology, with a minor in business management, and is currently working on her master's degree in psychology at the California Institute of Integral Studies. Jamie serves on the executive board of the American Heart Association and enjoys traveling, cooking, yoga, hiking, and meditation. Matt is the Chief Strategy Officer and co-founder of Psychable. A serial entrepreneur with two successful exits, Matt began his career founding Red Sky Productions, an entertainment company specializing in American Indian talent, working closely with the National Congress of American Indians. Matt is also the co-founder of Take 2 Minutes, a nonprofit dedicated to helping to improve happiness, and is currently pursuing a Master's of Science in Psychology and Neuroscience at King's College London. I met Jamie and Matt through their launching of Psychable. I helped organize and work with and generate content for the team creating the Learn section, full of a lot of great articles, kind of beginner or 101 articles, mostly on psychedelics and different medicines and modalities. This is an interesting conversation for me. I received my master's degree in clinical psychology almost 10 years ago, and my training in how to be a healer never included any perspectives on financial systems, the interdependence of all creatures on planet Earth, the frightening reality of social and climate injustice, and of course, then no solutions for incorporating these larger themes into our direct work supporting clients as clinicians. Now, these topics feel central to my work and the way I walk in the world. As a psychedelic integration facilitator and budding anti-capitalist, I still agonize about the future of humanity and biodiversity on this planet and how I can make a difference without being complicit in the systems that have gotten us into this mess. So I enjoyed learning from these two wonderful human beings about their perspectives on conscious capitalism and how it may be possible to participate in the system as it exists while trying to change it from the inside. Ultimately, I believe that there's no one right way to do things. I also think that capitalism may be inherently exploitative and that humanity cannot sustain this system without destroying ourselves. I do believe that each person's inner knowing should be their compass for how they engage with themselves in the world, and ultimately that education, connection, and deep listening are all integral to tuning into that inner wisdom and finding the path forward for ourselves and for us collectively. So on that note, I'll turn it over to the conversation. This is Jamie and Matt from Psychable. Hey, Jamie and Matt, welcome to the Psychedologist. Psychable is on the Psychedologist. Look at that.
It's exciting. We're looking forward to this, Leah.
It's great to be here with you today.
Yeah, great to be looking at your beautiful faces. Now, I'm wondering, and I don't know who wants to start, but you both just have been on this epic consciousness journey. So where did it begin? What was your relationship to consciousness when you were a little person?
Yeah, well, for me, to put it really bluntly, psychedelic medicine saved my life. I grew up with a father who is incredibly abusive and an alcoholic. And that really set me on a path of dealing with depression as a lifelong issue. I was placed on various forms of SSRIs that really didn't help me feel better. If anything, it made it worse for me. And at the age of 9, my father was taken away by the police while my mother was working around 4 to 5 jobs just to make ends meet. And as the eldest of the family, I really had to step in to raise my 2 younger brothers. And just really dealing with the devastation that my father left behind. I would say one of the things that kept us going was that my mother was a very devout Christian. And through that, I learned about spirituality. And it's become a big part of who I am today. I've had some pretty profound experiences with the encounters of higher consciousness growing up, especially around the situation that I had in dealing with my father. And I would say some of the positive things that I took away from my childhood was that not only did it build character, it really thrusted me into my adulthood with a lot of overachiever type A tendencies. just really in some always striving to be the best that I could be I've constantly found myself being one of the only youngest females in a variety of executive roles. And so fast forward to around 5 years ago, I was an executive at a management consulting firm. And after 2 years of that, I ended up manifesting a lot of mysterious symptoms, some of which was globs of my hair is falling out. I was waking up in the middle of the night in a puddle of sweat. I had developed brain fog where I couldn't even formulate a sentence. And so when these symptoms arose, I ended up plummeting into the depths of depression to where I lost all sense of purpose to life. And it was in this very dark period of my life where in a span of 1 week, I had 2 different people in different parts of my life share with me how plant medicine, specifically ayahuasca, transformed their lives. Now, this is at a point where I have already spent tens of thousands of dollars seeing Western medical doctors who all said that I checked out normal and I just knew something was seriously wrong. And I actually had never done drugs. I didn't even know what drugs look like. And I have actually never even been drunk in my life, even to this day, because of what I witnessed with my father. Right. I think when these 2 people had appeared in that span of 1 week, I really paid attention to signs and I kind of just throw down the rabbit hole of researching, what this ayahuasca thing was. And through that, I arrived to a big epiphany moment where I just realized I had nothing to lose at that point. So 2 days later, I was on a flight to Costa Rica where I sat with ayahuasca for 4 nights and it saved my life. And not only did it save my life, it gave me a renewed sense of purpose that in everything that I do is to be in service, particularly in this space. And so since doing ayahuasca for the first time 5 years ago, I haven't been depressed since. And really that's been my story. And this medicine has really helped me and made me realize that this is what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. So as an operator with over about 15 years of experience and having the privilege of helping some of the most nationally recognized brands and startups out there that you might know, I've really committed my life to exploring this space and really thinking about how I can add value to it. And the reason why Psychable, the platform that we build is so special to me is that it really represents this fusion and this merging of so many of my life's passion. From expanding access to life-changing psychedelic medicines to helping people live happier, healthier, thriving lives, and to growing a business from the ground up and really giving back, particularly to the indigenous communities around this world whose knowledge of these medicines go back generations. And finally, I've personally had a profound transformative experience with psychedelic medicine, as I shared, and it's really what inspired me to pursue my master's degree in psychology with a focus in psychedelic assisted therapy at the California Institute of Integral Studies. And now my personal mission has become Psychable's business mission, which is to provide more people an opportunity to experience the healing potential of psychedelic medicines.
Wow. I'm so glad that you're here to tell your story today and to be in service. That's amazing.
Thank you.
It's amazing, Jamie. Every time I hear about your past, I'm learning something new and just in awe of the process you've gone through.
And are going through.
And are going through as, yes, indeed. Similarly, I had an alcoholic father, which you know, and it's just, you're always on guard with it. I don't know, Leah, if you have any alcoholism in your family, but
yeah, I do.
It's you're always on guard. You just never know what's going to happen. And as the oldest of my sister's 18 months younger, there's kind of responsibility to take care of her. And there's the peacemaking tendencies that that I think you develop with it. Like you want to just keep the house calm. So being funny is important, and let's diffuse situations and let's just try to make it through to bedtime and those kinds of things. It's the alcoholism is just a powerful, it just has such an impact on the entire family, not just the person who is struggling with the disease. And I grew up as a cashew, Leah, which is my mother was Catholic and my father is Jewish, which makes me a cashew. Had my father died when I was a junior in college. So I was 20. And then my mom died 2 years later. I was 22. And I kind of just put my head down and worked for 20 some years. It's such an amount of grief at the time, but just worked. And 3 years ago, I had a chance to do a guided psilocybin experience, and it reunited me with my mom in ways that I never, ever could have imagined even asking for. Just such feelings of love and of safety, and the understanding that while she is gone physically, I carry her forward, and that my kids carry me forward, and all expand to total transformation of my views on family and the idea of conceptually, love your brothers and sisters, that makes sense. But kind of as a nuclear family American, I took that too literally. I never understood that we could all be brothers and sisters. And the idea of that expanded family was just psilocybin introduced me to that. And I knew from that very first experience, I had no idea this was possible. I was never a drug person. I just didn't know that this was possible and I needed to get involved. So for me, it was, how do I get someone to run my current business? How do I dive into this and learn as much as possible? And then just continuing the exploration and expanding of consciousness. I have a funny story on this, which is, Jamie was nice enough to introduce me to ayahuasca at one point. And during an ayahuasca journey, my daughter came to me and she put me into this like roller coaster car that went into a fun house. I don't know I think you grew up in the Northeast. So you know, those fun houses that were always just a little bit creepy and something was just a little bit wrong.
I'll do you one better. I've been to the DMT fun house myself.
Nice. Wow. Okay. So, the actual fun house. So everything's just a little tense when you're in the fun house. And I came off of that. I was like, oh my gosh, is that what living with anxiety feels like? Cause I am an optimistic person. I'm wired that way. And she's not. And I just felt so much closer to her and more understanding of just the world looks different when everything's in the funhouse. So I guess just to wrap this piece up, a lifelong entrepreneur, I know I'm not a researcher, not a scientist, but how do I take all these skill sets I've developed to build a number of businesses, sold some businesses? How can I add any value in this space? And that's what I've been trying to figure out. And that's what led led Jamie and I to coming together. And that's what led to Psychable today. And that's how we met, Leah.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I know about the mission of Psychable, but I'm sure that some listeners don't. So would you all tell me about that?
I'll jump on this and just kind of reiterate a few of the things that Jamie said. I mean, the mental health care system in America is broken, period, full stop. As an entrepreneur, what we look for is problems that get us fired up, of things to solve for. Everywhere I've looked in mental health care, there are problems that need to be solved. So pick your area. And if there are entrepreneurs in there listening, wow, what a space. We know that our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers are in pain, and we are theoretically our brother's keeper. So how do we help heal and spread love? And I think what fuels Jamie and I is the medicine exists to help right now. And what's so interesting is it's legal. Not all of the medicine is legal, but there is a legal psychedelic available to everyone in America right now. It's called ketamine. So yes, big picture, we envision a world where everyone has access to the power of psychedelic therapy to support them on their individual journeys of healing and optimization. And for now, in the United States, that means work with ketamine and a licensed therapist or a trained guide. If you're willing to do medical tourism, there's some other opportunities outside of the United States. But our mission is to help connect people with this incredibly powerful modality of healing. I mean, we were thinking in preparing for this, Leah, because you are one of our heroes and you've done such great work out there. And in preparing for this, we're trying to think of like, well, what would her audience want to hear about? And what can we talk about that would be of at all of interest? We thought, well, maybe conscious capitalism might be something that her audience might like or want to discuss. And sure, that puts us at risk of getting inundated with emails on opinions, but those opinions would be interesting to hear. So I was kind of hoping that we could, and maybe as a framework for this, another hero out there is the North Star Group. And they did this North Star Ethics Pledge that is so well thought out. So any practitioners or entrepreneurs out there listening, or people who are just interested in kind of like, what do business people think about? I'd encourage you to check out the North Star Ethics Pledge. It's really, really well thought out. But we've adopted pieces of it into kind of our ideology of how we operate the business. And maybe we can talk about those as a way to talk about conscious capitalism. Do you think that would work, Leah? Is that good for your
audience? Yeah, and I want to share something that ties in ketamine sure. and conscious capitalism, which is I wouldn't have even known to be critical of capitalism until after I was on my psychedelic journey, which I didn't know what drugs looked like either. I mean, it was like I had my master's degree before I even tripped at all. Like I saw psychedelics as kind of the same as any other drug. But then that journey started. I did become critical of capitalism, and it was actually ketamine journey work that was so, so profoundly impactful on me. And one of the things I got from it was like, yes, everything is moving and there's so many forces that I can't control, like just the global structures of oppression and injustice. But it's like, there's something happening that I can trust. And like, I can trust that, like, I can feel in myself what I'm called to contribute to this whole big conglomeration of forces and energies. So it's kind of like, you know, whereas plant medicine has me really seeing things to be critical of in the capitalist structure, ketamine gave me a sense of like more possibility for that there are different ways forward that don't involve tearing everything down. Not that I'm against that. I think like things definitely need to be torn down. But so my ears are open at least. Tell us about conscious capitalism.
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes with the pledge is starting from within. So not only talking the talk, it's and walking the walk. What I mean by that is, first and foremost, Matt and I are both pursuing our master's degree in psychology. Matt's also doing it in neuroscience. And for us, it's really around focus on psychedelic assisted therapy. So doing the hard work around really understanding what the space is about, really understanding what research is out there, what the history of this work really is. And then doing the medicine, you know, really are putting ourselves in experiences where we are where we are encountering both indigenous and Western psychedelic medicines. And, you know, that's something that I would highly encourage any leaders who are contemplating or who are in this space currently to really have those experiences with the medicines. And then also being the full embodiment of the work. So it's not just around accessing the medicine or just doing the medicine alone. That's only a sliver of the component. It's really around doing the integration, doing the hard work, showing up on a day-to-day basis of how do you continue to evolve the experiences that you have encountered in the medicine, and how do you really incorporate that into your daily life and evolve to be the best person you can be, not only for yourself, but all to all those around you. And I think the last thing for me is also around languaging, like being really careful in the way that we language and the way we speak about this work. For example, for me, I don't really use the word trip. Some people do, but I personally don't. I use the word journey and experience. Also, because I'm just so conscious of the fact that there's just so much stigma that comes with this work already, that we really need to all collectively come together and do a full-fledged effort around really helping rebrand this whole space because of the tremendous healing potential that it does have. So Matt, do you want to add to that?
A lot of things. I mean, Leah, you're a proponent of language, and you've talked a lot about like why language matters and are they drug addicts, as an example, is a conversation we had months ago, or we just had a conversation with
drug users.
Correct. Yeah. And then we had a conversation about with a nonprofit in the suicide world. And they were saying, we don't use the word committed suicide anymore. It's like, really? It's they killed themselves. They took their lives. It's harder to say, but it is powerful.
And it humanizes the individual.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So language is so important. And I love that part of this journey of just being open to trying not to react to a new way of looking at things or a new way about things. And it's again, just kind of wild that a single guided psilocybin experience has led to all this and led to ayahuasca and ketamine and discussions on how all of us as humans are just trying to do our best. And how do we respect everybody's journey for where they are, meet them where they are? It's a lot. I think this is a natural segue then to kind of the next thing that we talk about, which is studying the traditions. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things to study on the traditions. I mean, on one hand you have what's the indigenous perspective and what have they done? What are the sacrifices that have made in time and resources, in some cases lives, on moving the psychedelic medicine movement forward? And what does it mean in terms of sustainability and those kinds of questions? So just understanding that, and then also balancing them with what's happening. What is the scientific research showing? So doing your homework and understanding what's out there, what's the latest research, understanding though how to even read it. What was the study size? What was the methodology used? Is this a survey or a study? What are we looking at? And then also in terms of studying the tradition, I'd go in, I think it's important that people understand kind of the drug policy history and what happened and how did we get to a state of prohibition? And how does that tie into what we're doing moving forward? I think conscious capitalists have to be aware of those items as they're moving forward.
And I would add to that list the the Western research model is based on tenets that may, you know, are not necessarily found in nature. And so even to question that, like you might've seen recently, they've been reproducing the like foundational studies of psychology and the results aren't necessarily significant every time. So it's like, just, you know, how can we actually know things? It's just a whole other animal here.
And that's a really interesting point that, didn't Rick Doblin from MAPS, didn't he redo the one of the studies as part of his PhD on the Easter and came up with different results and actually found like there were issues in the study that no, it didn't say what we thought it said and said something completely different. And I think having that level of transparency and candidness, this is what we are seeing, this is what we're not seeing, and that's okay. Versus a world where we've shut the research down and we can't even have an honest discussion.
Yeah. And I think that's a perfect segue into the next pledge, which is building trust, right?
Yeah.
And you were just saying having honest, transparent dialogue. There is such a need for awareness and education in the space. And it's so important to present all of the facts and other people's lived experiences around this work. And really, I think also communicating it in layman's terms, really helping people understand and digest the information and present it in different mediums, whether it's through written word or visual audio. And I think it's to make these information much more accessible that, you know, my own mother can understand. I think that's the litmus test.
There's a little bit about coming out of the closet analogy on this, where the more of us that talk about it and say, yes, I'm a professional and I'm a father and I'm a husband and I do psychedelic medicine and that's okay. And that's normal. I think more of us have to do that. And it just is what it is. And by that helps build trust and that allows other people to say, well, maybe there is something worth looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think to your point, it's really just speaking from our own lived experiences, mm-hmm. right? And exercising that courage and that vulnerability to be able to speak our truth, right? Because if we end up speaking our truth, you know, the right people will resonate with it and hear it and they will come and support the movement.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a direct experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then last thing around that is just the idea of no competition. Right.
I love
with
that.
millions and millions of people in need of healing in the United States alone, we can operate with a spirit of abundance and not scarcity. And really our mindset is that and belief is that there is plenty of room for more companies to come into the space. And we use that analogy as it pertains to coffee, for example. There is room for a Starbucks, a Pete's Coffee, a Coffee Bean, and so on. So
even far. A Dunkin' Donuts?
Even a Dunkin' Donuts.
Will you accept a Dunkin' Donuts?
I will accept
Look
it.
At that.
America runs on Dunkin'.
There we go. And I think, and Leah, I mean, we've been involved in enough discussions, and you know, we're happy to share whatever we've learned with whomever wants to hear from us. And then we're so grateful for those professionals and people who've been so generous with their time helping us that you can't compete with us when we want you to win. So.
And we also stand on the shoulders of giants. There are people like Rick Doblin and Calvin and, you know, even Maria from the indigenous communities who have already paved the way and have been trailblazers in this space. And so recognizing that we, you know, are not starting from zero or like, you know, ground zero, that we are standing on shoulders of giants and to really pay tribute to that. And in their spirit of abundance and generosity as well.
Yeah. I mean, indeed, like, perhaps there's such a mental health crisis right now, partly due to the competitiveness that patriarchy reinforces, that in some ways capitalism reinforces, right? Like growth, just growth, as much growth as possible. That's like, you know, that's cancerous. And so we can like move forward in a different way and like build from a basis of helping everybody. I can't see how that wouldn't be healing.
Yeah, it's that's super interesting when you think about So the example I'll give is certainly we could work with any one doctor, healer, pick it, or two healers, and try to expand their business. And I'm sure we do a great job. But does that really, is that the maximum contribution that we can do in this space? And I think we can do more. But to do that, the language we use is considering the gravity. So if we need to start from a foundation, if we want to do no harm, so we have to think about the patients first, which then speaks to where did we raise our money from and who's making the decisions on helping the patients. So in our case, we're a technology platform. We don't do anything when it comes to the practice of medicine. But what we do is we empower, we try to take the best practices of the best healers and find ways to automate and find ways to put guardrails up to bring the cost down. But it has to start from that foundation of considering the gravity. And then also recognizing that if we do something unethical, it's not just going to impact our business, it's going to impact the entire community. And keeping that in our mind of, okay, I understand why we're thinking about this, that, or the other thing, but what's going to happen if this happens or that happens? On the gravity piece, I'd also talk about a little bit about affordability and accessibility. So if we charge X for this product, who can actually use that product? And then is there a way that we can be creative as entrepreneurs to increase accessibility some way, somehow? And I think the final piece is just the legal considerations. We've already had a prohibition for a number of years. These are controlled, the ketamine at least is a controlled substance. So are we doing things in a way that's not going to cause a backlash? And are we at least being aware of it? We might make a choice that some people don't like, but we are doing it aware of the potential legal concerns with that. And that's all part of the kind of the process that we go through.
Yeah. And speaking of process, the next is really focusing on the process. Mm-hmm. And knowing that there's just not a perfect solution. There's not a one size fits all solution, that everyone is different. Yeah. And you know, Matt and I have a deep core belief that there's just not a one size fits all solution to healing. And that I think that's really where the importance of diversity comes in. You know, Leah, you talked about, you know, patriarchy and how it's dominating our culture and our society. And so how do we fuse in more of that feminine energy along with the masculine? How do we also incorporate different diverse cultures into the things that we are working on, onto our team, all the way up to investors? And also, you know, how do we also help focus on helping healers heal and do what they do best? Oftentimes we know that, you know, in therapy school, you're not getting an MBA. You're not trained to know how to operate or run a business. So how do we take that load off of the healers? How do we help enable, tech enable them to do what they do and to really focus on helping heal other people? And that really leads into also the transparency in our thinking and decisions that are made around the key areas of our business, and also asking to be held accountable for ethical behaviors.
You know, we are so lucky that we get to experience kind of the best of the best. We've gotten to work with some amazing therapists and taitas and healers. And as entrepreneurs and technologists, how do we build solutions? What's the process? How do we try to take those things that they do in a boutique setting and make them able to scale responsibly? And I think is it perfect? No, it's not perfect, but we can do a lot. And we can, by doing that, we can bring this to a wider audience. And we can also create equality and justice as part of this process. So we can use the resources we have to make the world better and to lift up other people up. And Jamie, from day one, we've talked about how do we empower diverse leadership within our organization? How do we make sure that when you look at who's working at Psychable, it's not a whole bunch of people who look like me? Not that I'm not good to look at, but hey. and then also on that same thing is, how do we find the right investors? And I think this is a huge part of conscious capitalism. Of where do you get your money? We know we have to build a healthy business, and
not all money is good money.
Correct. And we want investors who believe first in what we're trying to do.
Energetically aligned with us.
Yeah, but don't need us to squeeze every nickel of return to meet their performer goals. We'll build a very healthy business and provide a very healthy return, but we have these other ambitions of affordability and accessibility, and that's baked into the DNA. So it has to be kind of understood on day one that's baked into the business model, that we could have charged more and made more money, but we wouldn't then be doing what feels right to us to do. And we wouldn't be creating equality and justice with what we're doing if we did that. So let's do both, healthy returns and lifting other people up at the same time. And
I think it's around, how do we make the medicine as accessible as possible and accessible and affordable and done with integrity, and really, you know, establishing what that gold star standard looks like. And I think that's a really nice segue over to the last and final point, which is around paying it forward. Mm-hmm. Which is something that is just part of my DNA growing up even as a young kid, all the way into adulthood, but being that embodiment of that, and then segueing into Psychable's DNA, which is on day one, that has been our core DNA, is around reciprocity and how do we support the communities? How do we support those that have been marginalized? How do we support traumatized communities like our veteran communities, which the first nonprofit we actually highlighted was a nonprofit called Heroic's Heart Project, which is really around sponsoring veterans with PTSD to support them in sending them abroad to experience ayahuasca retreats. And it's so important to take care of them. They have sacrificed so much of themselves, of their lives, and their families sacrifice in order to sacrifice to really help us gain the access and the freedom that we have in this country. So that community is very near and dear to my heart, as well as those that have been sexually traumatized, and also, you know, in any other traumatized communities. How do we make sure that as we are doing the work, we are also making sure that they are being accounted for and they are also having access? So thinking through. Matt, do you want to add? I do.
I mean, again, conscious capitalism. So it's finding a way to work within the system as it exists while making change. So the example here that this is a cash based. Everything in psychedelic therapy right now is cash based. So you either need to have the money, or get into a nonprofit, get into a clinical study, or work with a nonprofit to have access. And I think my challenge to us and other entrepreneurs is, how can we bake in supporting those that can't afford the medicine into our business models? I don't know what that exactly is, but there have to be ways that go beyond just the kind of typical, a portion of our proceeds will go to benefit. No. How do you make it a significant, meaningful number to drive change with what we're doing because we can? If you're not a upper middle class person, you can't afford the cash-based solutions that are out there today. And in many cases, if you're not an upper-class person, you can't afford it. So we're talking about 9% of America can have access to this medicine. It's not right. So we need to find a better way to pay this forward.
Well, if anyone can find a better way, I feel like you guys can.
That's nice of you.
Thank you.
Wow, that was just such a journey in and of itself. Speaking of journeys, I'm curious if you have any tips for anyone who's listening, who's struggling right now, just from how much you both know and have been through yourselves.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I will lead with I have been there. I've been where you are at, and there is hope. And I just want to encourage you to hang on just a little longer and really open your heart and your ears to hear our story and our message, because we want for you. And we know that also everyone is on their healing journey. And many people have used psychedelic medicines as part of their healing journeys. And so what we want to encourage everyone to do is really talk about your experience. And if you have one, you know, this really helps normalize the conversation and this work. And again, we know that there's just not a one size fits all solution to healing. And that every one of us, each and every one of us, has our own internal intelligence around how best to heal ourselves. And, you know, just also know that there are many, many professionals out there who can support you in the Western and the indigenous sense. And while they can't help you procure necessarily a legal substance, they can help you with pre and post work. And some of them can even sit with you during your experience and or journey. Do you want to talk?
Yeah, I wish there was, like, we could say, hey, audience, go to 1-800-PSYCHABLE and you're going to get the answer you need immediately. And it just doesn't work that way. I think what we would encourage people to do is as much as possible, self-educate. I know we spent a tremendous amount of resources creating a couple hundred medically reviewed articles that are on our site just for free. Just go there, go to psychable.com, go to learn lots of articles, even videos for those that learn better that way. Lots of different videos that are, again, everything's free. So educate as much as possible. You know, I'll use a ketamine space as an example. There is a ethical guidelines that's out there on our site, but, like, you don't know what you don't know. So, like, there are ketamine providers who are just going to put you in a chair and give you the medicine, and that's one way of healing. And there's others that are going to say, oh no, you have to combine this with therapy, and that's a way of healing. And we have strong beliefs on kind of one, but there's different ways, and at least being aware that there's different modalities in that space. So you can ask the question to the provider, and even that even ties to what you pay. So the same provider might charge X amount of dollars for ketamine therapy and have wildly different meaning of what that is. So yeah, so self-educating with Learn, when you're ready. Psychable, obviously we have a search functionality where you can say, I'm looking for a therapist in my area, but there are other resources out there that, I mean, psychedelic support's a great resource. You can use them as well, but find somebody who is, we're trying to build a trust network. So find somebody who is psychedelic medicine friendly, who can help on your preparation and integration. And then,
who is well-trained, yeah, who has lived experience with the medicine as well. So, you know, I think especially when it comes to the indigenous medicines, really seeking out, you know, these shamans or, taitas who have been really committed their lives to a lifelong training in this work. And I think that it's really important to make sure that whoever you're sitting with has extensive amounts of training so that they can hold the space with, you know, in terms of your experience with the highest integrity.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that there are practitioners who come into the space after, I mean, having a personally profound experience, but just not really equipped to do what needs to be done when they're working with somebody's lives is in their hands.
Right. And practitioners need to be in their own accountability to continue their own work, because, like, I know when I am doing work helping support people on their own journeys, it's not like I just cease to have my own shit when I'm working with somebody. Like, it can come, it can be even bigger in that context. So it's really important to have a community of the recognition of this accountability that we all have as healers.
Yeah, we're all human beings at the end of the day.
Yep. Like it or not. Mm-hmm. So let's wrap up with consciousness hacks. What have you been into for deepening or expanding your consciousness lately?
I get to kick this off. Look at that. So microdosing has been really interesting to go through that process, combined with journaling and meditation. That's been fascinating. And then I think for me, just being open to working with these different medicines and therapists that, I guess understanding that these different healing modalities do different things and these different ways. I mean, working with a Colombian Taita is very different than working with a Los Angeles MD, but both are incredibly powerful. And I've really gotten a lot out of that. Both during the ceremonies or therapies, as well as during the integration processes afterwards. So it's been a lot lately. What about you, Jamie?
Yeah, I think definitely microdosing has been tremendous for me. It's helped me in terms of quieting the monkey mind, you know, and the exhausted effort to even get through the monkey mind in order to get productive, right? So it's actually helped me really conserve that energy to actually put it to the actual work of getting things done and then things that I need to be focusing on and the things that I need to be prioritizing in my life. And then also another big component to that, that I'm a huge proponent of is the integration, right? So again, not only the access to the medicine, and it's also therapy and integration. So how are you showing up to do the hard work on a day-to-day basis? Which also for me entails a gratitude journal. You know, what am I grateful for? What are those three things? What would make my day great today? What are the daily affirmations that I am today? And also three amazing things that have happened mm-hmm. to me today. And also how could I have made today even better? And I would also end with the connection to nature. Has been a tremendous hack for me. And just a reminder that the best things in life are free.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you both so, so, so much. And may you just go the distance that you're off to. And with all of us together, let's go together. Let's make being human a good thing.
Yes, indeed. It's quite the journey we are all on.
Yeah, and let's not kid ourselves. No one's coming out of this human experience unscathed. Nope.
mm-hmm. And let's have access to this medicine that can help in this journey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Spread the word. This is all normal.
I agree. Thank you both so much.
Leah, thank you for having us. What a treat.
Yes, thank you. It's been a privilege and honor. Thank you so much.
The Psychedologist is Consciousness Positive Radio. Find us everywhere podcasts are hosted. For more information, visit us on Facebook or online at thepsychedologist.com.